Could you imagine if your mother or father came to you and said, listen, I want to be a great mom. I know I suck at certain things. Let me know what you want me to take on in 2022, 2 to 3 things that don't work for you as my child that you'd like me to tweak. Could you imagine having that your parent come to you? Most of you would be like, they would never. Okay, I understand. Imagine if you went to your kid and did that.
This is Only the Bold, where I have deep, riveting, and fascinating conversations with truly phenomenal humans. I'm your gay, ADHD-having, and compulsively curious host, Jia Goodrich, and among many things, I can't get enough of hearing people's incredible stories and getting inside the way their brains work. Each week, I have conversations where we dig below the surface and really uncover everything it takes to live a truly bold life. Despite the messages we get from media and popular culture, the boldest, truest version of yourself is exactly what the world needs. Hello, hi, hey. I am so glad to be back with you for another episode. It is a good day. It's a good morning. Hello. It's a good day. If that at all sounds familiar to you, we see each other. But if it doesn't, it's Abraham Hicks, who, if you aren't familiar, is... it's way too complicated to explain, but basically there is channeled information that comes in the form of Abraham Hicks, who I guess is the root of The Secret. Like, all of that originally comes from this human channeling. Like I said, it's a lot. But anyways, there's this recording on YouTube. We'll have a link in the show notes. It's like, it's a good morning. Today is a good morning. And then goes on to say, like, today I will own blah, blah, blah. And it's just this kind of like... affirmation. I don't know how to explain it, but like whenever I'm feeling low or down or just off my game, I will just listen to it and like take a deep breath. And there's something really lovely about having that muscle memory of what it is. Like, it's almost memorized at this point. I've listened to it on and off for a couple of years and just randomly. And every once in a while, it just gets stuck there where I'm like, oh, it's a good morning. It's a good morning. Today's a good day. And I feel like this idea has been coming up a lot around, and this episode is going to be so good because we talk about resolutions versus really aligning with your dreams and goals and how to break everything down and figure it out. And there's just so much energy around this time of year, but just in general of this like, go, build, dream, make, create, and to do so in this speedily way. Whenever I get really caught in that, which can be like, I would say like 80% of the time I'm there, and it takes a lot of intentionality to really like slow down and be present and honor and accept what's there. But I have these kind of rituals for doing that. And one of them is listening to Abraham Hicks. And so there's this channel on Spotify where you can listen to these random teachings and little snippets. And in all honesty, it took me a while to be able to listen to it because I was just like, whatever. Like, the Fox would just say, you should listen to this. You should listen to this. And skeptical part of my brain just totally shut down. And then, I don't know, one day after like 3 years of her trying with me, it just clicked. And I was like, whoa, this really resonates with me. Let's go. So I was listening to some insights this morning. There are all these people who are asking questions of like the sage, all-knowing, universal energy channeled to this human. And one just totally made me laugh because I'm like, oh my gosh, if this isn't the human experience, I don't know what is. But it was just this like, I was feeling so good. I was in the vortex. I was rocking it. I encountered this person. They gave me so much value that I wanted to give them this great gift. I gave them the great gift and then somebody took it away. It just rocked me off of my energy and all of this stuff. And so of course, like Abraham is like, laughing and just saying like, yeah, that's, you know, how your brains work and that's fine. But really, if you're in this energetic state where you are in love, in alignment, really, truly not being affected by outside circumstances, you won't get thrown off about how your gift is received. It was the energy of giving the gift. You need to realize that nobody's focus is on you. Like, everybody has their own priorities and things that they're focusing on. And I just laughed so hard to myself because I was like, ah, like how often are we catching ourselves making ourselves like the central figure in somebody else's story? Now, to me, this extends to strangers, but even to like loved ones and romantic partners and all of that, where you center yourself so much that you think that they should be prioritizing you in this certain way. They should be thinking about you in this certain way. The way they're acting is, they're doing it because they know how it's going to impact you and all of this stuff. When really we all have all of this information that we're sorting through. We're just trying to get through the fucking day. We're trying to live our lives and be authentic. And like, yes, we might come into play with each other, but we're not like fully able to prioritize energetically this other being above ourselves because we're just not really wired that way. And that might sound like selfish and weird and whatever, but like, it really resonates with me that as much as I'm trying to love you and show that to you and everything like that, it's, you know, it's still about my experience. I can't fully be in your brain or understand. And what's interesting is it made me think of this TikTok that I saw that was just like, how can we even know that anybody else is an actual sentient being and is real and having thoughts in the same way we are? And it was just this kind of like, like panicking moment for myself in trying to think about relationships, goals, showing up the best way possible, like owning the thing, doing the thing, being authentic, interacting with people in a meaningful way, and then realizing that there's always this huge limit. You'll never be able to understand people the way you want to. You'll never be able to really have people prioritize you, nor will you be able to prioritize them in the way that we're brought up in Disney movies to think. And it kind of got me spiraling for a while because I've been spending a lot of time on my floor, not moving that much to try to heal my back. One of the things that I think has been grounding in this mini existential blip, I would say, is the thought about feeling good. There's the toxic positivity aspect where it's like, you're not going to honor the feelings that are really coming up, what you're really thinking and feeling, because you're trying to just like, ha, 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 it's going to be great. But then the other aspect of it is that we do have the capacity to choose thoughts that are going to lead us toward feeling better. And feeling better and choosing your energy, attention, and focus is ultimately better for everything, for your nervous system, for your brain, for the people around you, all of this stuff. And since we know a part of with the sciatic bulge disc situation that I'm dealing with is that so much of that has to do with your nervous system. Your nervous system has to do with your emotions and your thoughts and everything. So I've been thinking about this practice of like really asking myself, how can I be as often as possible in a good state, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's showing up, but also do so in a way that's honoring all my emotions. And so the other day I did this sort of like fear bath, I guess you could call it, where I'm alone in my apartment and I was just like saying out loud all the stuff I was afraid of. I let it out and I was just like, I'm afraid of getting COVID. I have somebody who's dealt with asthma forever. I'm deeply afraid of that. I'm afraid of never being able to live up to my potential. I'm afraid that I'm putting all this work in and nobody cares. I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to do the work that I know I can because I'll never heal my body. And I just like did this whole thing. It's something in the past I don't think I would have really allowed myself to do because I would have been clipping all of that energy off and trying to be quote unquote positive. But in doing so, what was so magical is it was totally like a release valve. And in bringing all of that up and bringing all of that out into the surface, I was able to take a breath and just allow there to be like this negative space for other things to fill in. And what filled in for me was just like love and gratitude and things like that. So I'm on this journey trying to figure it out in real time, just like all of you. But what I'm excited about is in this episode and future episodes is really trying to bring people on who are figuring those things out for themselves. They're like dealing with the big existential things that are thinking about how do you grow? How do you scale? How do you feel fulfilled? How do you grieve, like all of this stuff that's going to help us, as our guest today would say, human better. So I'm really excited for you to hear this episode because it was so meaningful to me. She's an executive life coach who I'm actually working with. And we'll talk about my experience because it was really intense. It's been intense and amazing and all the things. She is fabulous. And we talk about resolutions, why those are suboptimal and leading you ultimately to a path of failure, which is not always negative, but you know, we live and learn. But how to dream and how to break things into pieces that are manageable and how to really figure out how to make those dreams a reality. What do you need to do day to day? How she built her life and her business and her career, working with siblings and just all of this stuff that was so deeply inspiring to me. I think you're going to have so much fun on this conversation because her energy is a 10 out of 10. I mean, it's a lot and I love it. It feels like home in the most magical way. So I am so excited for you to hear it, and let's roll into the episode. Today's guest is the equivalent of sticking your finger into an electrical socket of self-development. You might feel some sharp pains as she shocks you awake to the person you have the potential to become and illuminates all the ways your habits, stories, and wiring are holding you back from stepping into the highest version of yourself. She's the co-founder and president of the Hendel Group, a multi-million dollar executive life coaching company. And over the last 18 years, she's been the secret weapon for the world's most powerful CEOs, venture capitalists, athletes, and celebrities, including Gary V. Vaynerchuk, NFL stars Justin Pugh and Nolan Carroll, and Destiny's Child singer Michelle Williams, just to name a few. The Hendel Group is a unique, cutting-edge, transformative, and brutally honest, we'll talk more about the brutally honest part because I have some experience there, that has been taught and developed at over 50 universities, institutes, and learning institutions worldwide, from MIT to Stanford University to Yale, Columbia, NYU. People are sent to her when they're at their limit, when they're about to get fired from their multi-million dollar contracts, when they're positive they're going to run their life's work into the ground, and she's able to help them rewrite their futures and step into their greatness. So ultimately, she's a bastion of hope and a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so excited that we can dig into that today. The incomparable and fantastically bold soul, Beth Hendel.
Woo! Awesome. All right. Yeah. Stick a finger in your socket. Yes, that would be me.
Yes. So, I mean, to get started, I would love to understand a little bit about how you go from somebody who is trying to figure everything out to somebody who's now like at the helm and the go-to person for all of these empires and all of these people who are responsible for like literally changing our cultural business world landscape.
So I am the oldest of four children. So it makes sense for me to tell you this. You'll understand why shortly. So I'm the oldest of four. I'm currently 62. At the end of the month, I'll be 63. My youngest sister, Lauren Zander, who is 11 years younger than me, invented what we now call the Hendel Method. Hendel Method, it's our maiden name, Hendel. I'm Beth Hendel. This was 18 plus years ago, she invented this method. How I bumped into that, because she's 11 years younger than me, right? Like, you know, she wasn't going to coach me.
She probably wasn't cool enough to hang out with you in your childhood, all that good stuff.
Right. So I was already a successful leader of workshops and seminars and now a management consultant. So I was doing fine. I was married. Yes, this was my second marriage at the time. Max was just born. She was about 2.5 now. And I called my sister Lauren because I had heard, of course, I know what she does for a living. She's this awesome coach. I was really not really happy at that moment. I did not live, sorry, people who live in California, I did not love living in California in Laguna Beach. I'm a pure New Yorker. My daughter was now two-ish and I was not really liking my husband at that moment. And I called my sister for coaching. And what ended up happening is we ended up within the next, we're talking 3.5 months, 4 months, literally quitting my job, moving my husband and my daughter to New York City in a job that she had created for me with one of her clients, my sister, that fell apart within 6 weeks, not because of me, because of the client. And literally there I am in New York. Our apartment is not ready. My husband hates me and I have no job.
So you're having like a cake of oh shit moments.
Oh my God, I'm 45 at this point, and I'm standing there in one of my friend's apartment. My sister lived in the building, and she's there, and I look at her crying. I'm like, why don't we build you? Because she was a genius. I had discovered like her coaching of me, her coaching, like she's a genius. Like, why don't we take you and build your method into the world? And that is literally within 24 hours of my having that conversation, August 2004, we started Hendel Group based on I needed a friggin' job.
Yes.
is really what happened. And we gave ourselves a year because if you remember 18 years ago, executive life coaching, the only question people would ask after they looked at us funny would be like, are you therapists?
Yeah.
Neither one of us are. So we're like, no, we're executive life coaches, right? And so there was really no such thing. And so we gave ourselves a runway of a year, like, all right, let's see if we can build this company into something in a year that makes money, that actually has some legs. And if at the end of the year, we don't make it, you go back to coaching one-on-one, Lauren, and someone will hire me as a chief operating officer. I'm not worried. Here we are 18 years later, the largest executive life coaching company on the planet. And Sister is still the chairman. She is now building two other companies for us. And now I'm running the Handel Group with my CEO.
So here's, because I think a lot of people can relate to this idea of having this magic, whether it's a framework or a solution or something like that, where, or a skill. And then it sounds like, that was like your sister's superpower zone. But then you came in and you helped build it and create the container around it. How do you create that container so it ends up being something that becomes huge, allowing your sister, I imagine, to really focus on her superpower area?
Yes. So her superpower was the invention of our method, right? So she would invent the method. My superpower is the ability to take a genius who doesn't really speak any language anybody knows, right? Because she's inventing a new language. That's the method, right?
Yeah.
And then my superpower is get it grounded into structures, into the earth, and sell it. So she would do a principle and I'm like, oh my God, that would be an incredible seminar for corporations. And then I would then build the seminar from her method and then start charging money and then it would work. So building the structures is people. So getting people, right? And then my superpowers are really the structures of putting something into the ground, right? So people, division. So I built the company in the structure way with my sister and our business.
So I'm curious for people who don't necessarily have that person who can like take what's in their brain and really make it something that's viable, that's understandable, that's marketable. Do you have any, aside from like partnering with somebody, do you have any guidance or like tips or things like that in how to take something that's inherently kind of ephemeral and, you know, not quite distilled into something that's like, boom.
We had a dream. Raise consciousness, get to the people. Okay, what people? Okay, we could do education. Like, let's get to this. We picked what we wanted to do first. Like, let's get ourselves into universities, teach there because that'll give us the reputation. If I'm teaching at a university, that'll give us a reputation. So we had university, we had corporations, obviously, and then one-on-one. And so we have a dream. What's the dream? Okay. All right. Well, we got a big dream, Nobel Peace Prize, right? But we're not going to do that in our first year. So what's the dream? All right. Well, let's get somebody running universities because that'll give us our reputation. And then let's start with one-on-one incorporation. So we first had the dream, which is what we're going to all teach you, not New Year's resolutions, dreams. How we got into a university is we promised a professor. One of the professors wanted to get married. Lauren coached him on our dime. I'll get you married. If I get you married and in love, will you get me into this university? The professor said, yes. Okay, well, that's how we got into Stanford and MIT, two different major universities that then helped us with our reputation, right?
Yeah.
That's part of how we do it. Like, I'll give you some free sessions. It's how I got in with NFL players. Why don't I give you two free sessions? You don't have to pay me anything. If you did what I did, you then pay me for the rest of the sessions. Or you fire me, right? So that's how I got into NFL players. So we were smart in the beginning of, you know, let's give it to you, taste it, see if you like it, and then we'll charge you later.
Yeah, see, I love that. And that's why I love working with you. And we'll talk more about that experience. But I think it's the way to prioritize and really map out what that process is to get to your dream. And I think a lot of people would think, oh, well, let's go after like the big clients. So we have the revenue coming in. And just even the way you were thinking, okay, but let's actually prioritize the universities because we need the reputation. And I think a lot of people struggle with that kind of just prioritizing and figuring out what to go after first. So let's talk about this idea of the first, the dream building, because I think this is a process that I did with you. And it was very revealing to not only like sit there and really spend time like pulling this stuff out and really making it real. I feel like I'm kind of a person that's always floating into the future ether, but it had been a long time, if ever, that I had really sat down, especially in the 12 different areas. So can you talk? Yeah, talk about that.
We divide your life up into, if you actually take a look at your whole life, you really do have 12 areas of your whole life. Now, I'm not going to, you'll get them when you come to the workshop, mm-hmm. but you can get a sense. You have money, right? You have your career. You have spirituality. You have your friends. You have community and contribution and how you want to be known in your community and contribution. You know, you have fun and adventure. Like, what are you doing for fun and adventure? I understand there's COVID, but hi, I'm living in Costa Rica for the winter, cause fun and adventure, right?
Yeah.
Divide your whole life up, career, life, all of it, sex, the whole thing into 12 areas. And then what most humans don't do is you don't sit down and actually dream a year out. What do you want to have happen in that area? One of the areas is your relationship to yourself. What's your dream for yourself this year? What's your dream for your money this year? What's your dream for your love life this year? We actually break it all down. And then there really is the language of dreaming that most humans don't know. And most people, when they do the first module of Inner You Life, which is where you do all the dreaming, right, to begin with, is most people I have to send back to redo their dreams because they don't even follow directions, right? Now, why? Because dreaming is something that most adults have not done in a very long time. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you actually dreamed? Not New Year's resolution bullshit, actually dreamed. We don't.
Let's back up though, I think, to really like tease apart New Year's resolutions and dreams. Because if you were to say like in just one sentence why 90% of New Year's resolutions fail, what would you think the source?
So the two things that we suck at is both dreaming and keeping a promise to ourselves. See, if we could keep promises to ourselves, you wouldn't need a New Year's resolution because you could make a promise. And if you were good at keeping it to yourself, you wouldn't need a New Year's resolution because you'd be living inside of what you're committed to already. So each resolution, I promise you, those of you who made resolutions, they each come from a dream.
You know, the reason we talked about doing a workshop is just because there's so much. And I think for a lot of people, you know, myself included, and that's why I'm working with you, is that there's a difference between, like in the Matrix, they say, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. And I think that for a lot of us, it's being overwhelmed potentially by a lot of like self-help, you know, life coaching gurus, and knowing that even if we're inputting all of this information, we're not necessarily taking action. So actually, one thing that I want to like just ask you, because I know when you started, this type of coaching wasn't a thing. Now, I have, I think, 4 personal friends that in the last year have decided they're going to go into life coaching. I love them and I support them. And I think that's amazing. I also think how, like, if I were to think about that, I'm like, how would I be able to enter into life coaching? Like, you know, and I know there's a difference. You teach what you most need to learn and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But to me, it's kind of like, I know I wouldn't be able to do it with my life experiences. But I'm curious for you, like in this trend that you've seen happen where it's almost an explosion of things, what do you make of all of that?
If you don't walk your talk, don't even bother being a coach. Who's going to let you coach them, right? Like if you're someone who literally has a promise to meditate, exercise, eat a particular way, and do your 5, you know, bold actions a day, and you do none of them, what kind of coach are you going to be? People can put on the, you know, nameplate that they're a coach. The best ones are people who walk their talk. Do you know what it takes? It takes, we have a university, our own, where we move people through being coaches. It's a minimum of 2 years to become a coach with us, of which most people sometimes don't even make it. And it's not so much it's hard to train you in the Handel method. It's more that we've got to have your life
reflect
be consistent
that.
With the method. Yeah. So I'm a jerk. I'll tell you where I'm an asshole in each area of my life. But I am at work on it. I got promises. I'm dealing, right? So it's not that you're perfect. You just have to walk the talk of that which you're coaching people. I never could understand. I used to lead a program where, I don't anymore, where people would be overweight, like tremendously overweight, and be up on stage yelling at me for my integrity. I don't understand. So you got to walk your talk. So it's why we're successful as we are is because we are ruthless about walking our talk, which does not mean you're perfect. It means owning your crap when you are not a great human.
Right. And I'm guessing for clarity's sake, what you're saying with people who are overweight is that if they're overweight and they think that's a problem and they want to change it and they aren't changing it.
I'm not mad at overweight people, but don't be up there yelling at me. How about there used to be humans there who cheated on their wives and you're going to talk to me about integrity? That's not right.
Okay.
And then you're going to keep talking about wanting to lose weight. That's what I meant. Like talk about wanting. And then it's now I've been with you in two workshops with you for 2 years and you still haven't lost a pound. I'm not going to listen to you.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that I've definitely experienced as somebody who has been like ruthlessly involved with self-development. But one of my mechanisms, I think, is research over action, right? And there definitely is like a law of diminishing returns where it's like, you're downloading another Audible book, but you haven't inputted anything from the last one you read. I do think to a certain extent, I can talk to somebody about things that I'm working through. But to me, and a lot of my content is that, and sharing insights that I glean along the way. But I think for me, what I caution against just with myself is that idea of like, there's a lot, as you know, there's a lot that I have not worked through. Yeah. And even if I've learned something, I can't really teach it with conviction unless I have been able to implement that.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I've noticed in various ways and methods and things like that is that not everything is a one size fits all. You know, like I think about the evangelical pastors that you find out, like they were, you know, closet pedophiles. And then you're just like, what? How can you be talking to me about values, dude? Yeah,
exactly.
Deeply suboptimal.
So it's really more about in picking a coach, like, do they walk their talk, right?
Right.
And so you can count on at Handel Group, we are truly, I think you said like sticking a finger in a plug with me about like, it's that way how we are about our integrity of our coaches.
Well, let's talk about that because I think when we're looking at like methodology and coaching, one of the things that you and I talked about is that really for me, a lot of my trauma that I embedded came from really well-meaning coaches in my childhood who were operating under the belief system that they needed to beat me down in order to build me up. It's sort of this military brainwashing sort of thing. And what would happen for me is I would internalize a lot of this very negative, you're worthless, you need to be better, you're only valuable if you get to this next level. I internalized that. And of course, like before I ever got to whatever level, I would quit because there's a certain part of my brain that couldn't take it. And that is very different than what you do. Even though I think some people on the face of it might be like, whoa, you know, about the type of candor and blunt kind of process that you go through in communication styles. How do you differentiate between those? And what's the philosophy behind this kind of no bullshit, tough love coaching?
What we deeply care about. So overall, and then I'll bring it down. So the big picture is, could we raise consciousness on this planet? The planet really does need human beings and raising our consciousness. My world, my life is about everything fits inside of Handel Group is raise consciousness on this planet. And then from there, inside the big picture, my job, you could say, is to have you have your dreams. See, when I coach you, Gia, and you've got all your dreams that you've written out, like, as you can even see from our last coaching call, I'm not stuck in my method of having to do it away. When I could hear how you're wired and how you have to work to be able to get what you want in your life and be able to have your dreams, I can immediately tweak what we do so that it fits for you. I'll always be a gap ahead of you. Like, that's my job, to stay ahead of you so that you come on. But my life is about, and all our coaches are about, you having what you want in 2022. So then the coaching is about when we say like, oh, it could be tough. Oh, it needs some courage. It's about getting you out of the way for what you want, not what I want. So we start with your 12 areas, your dreams. And then the coach's job is, oh, you want to lose that weight. You want to get that job. You want to get that promotion. You want to fall in love. You want to upgrade your, you know, your relationship with your partner, whatever it is. You want to find the right partner, whatever it is. We don't go, oh, no, you should not have that dream. Unless we can hear it's in violation of another dream, right? Then we have to deal. But it's, you want those dreams. I heard your dreams. I'm clear what you want. Then my job is to make sure you get them. And so sometimes I have to call you certain names like, oh, you're being a chicken. You know, oh, you're being really bratty, right?
Yeah.
But it's the smack and the real truth about where you are is for you to see where you are, that you're in the way of your dream, not mine, yours. You hire us, you come to us when you want your dreams realized, right? When Justin Pugh, the NFL player, when I got him, he was a rookie on the Giants. He wanted to stay and get a contract. That was his dream, get a contract. He was about to get cut, but his dream was, Beth, get me a contract on the Giants. Now, I'm not going to get him that contract. That's his agent. My job is just, let me get Justin out of the way so we could get him the contract. And then I do whatever I need to do, included like, why are your friends doing that? No, stop it, right? Like each different thing, punch him to get him out of his way so he could get his contract. He got his contract. He then got a $43 million contract with the Arizona Cardinals. And he will tell you that was me and my coaching, right? So with him. So my job, get you what you want.
The first session that the first session that we worked together, you came on. Now, mind you, with me and my ADHD brain, there was homework. And I looked at it, processed it, and made an inaccurate assessment. So even though upon going back, it says very clearly, this should take you, I think, 6 to 8 hours, because this is like the foundational layer. Miss that. And so to me, I'm doing it at the last minute, feeling like I've got it done, sending it into you, and then realizing, oh, this is literally half. You've spent 4 hours on this, but this is the halfway point. I hopped on the session with you and you said, you don't need to feel bad, but you didn't do the work, so I can't show up and do the session with you. I remember, because I had said, you know, like, well, what about us talking about something else that we could prep for this podcast? And you were just like, nope, we'll reschedule. I know it'll be fine. And I remember feeling like I got energetically bitch slapped, humbled so much. And it took me like right back to, you know, high school, where it was like, I got straight A's because I didn't want to disappoint my teachers. And it was like that shameful feeling of like, I thought I did, but I fucked up. It shook me a lot. But then what happened? I went in and I did my homework. What people who are trying to figure out their dreams, figure out how to live the boldest version of themselves, boundaries can't help but come into play. In that interaction, even though I was, you know, emotionally put on my heels, and, you know, the brat in me was like, well, fuck this. Like, my time is valuable too. And I thought I was doing it. Like, I had all sorts of stories going on. There was also this part of me that really revered and deeply appreciated and respected the fact that you were just very clear about, like, this is what I need in order to show up and be helpful to you. So this is the natural consequence of what happened.
But it sucked, for sure. It sucked. Now, I wasn't mean. It wasn't bad.
No.
But it definitely was deflating in that, you know, you think you do the homework and not. Now, if Gia had done all the homework and did it not poorly, but she at least did it every all four sections, I would have had the call with her. She had only done one, so I couldn't, just to have someone's dreams versus their current reality, it would be a waste of an hour on both times. I teach integrity, which is living true to your values, number one, or another way to say it is keeping promises to yourself specifically. You're not in trouble with me as a client, for sure, unless you're not going to pay your bills, then you might be in trouble, but most people don't do that. So you're not in trouble, but I'm not going to tolerate, because I got to give you what you want.
in terms of boundaries, because I think for a lot of us, we struggle, and that ties into the idea of self-integrity, because not having firm boundaries is a way that we're not honoring ourselves, not speaking our truth. But it can be really difficult to be clear, especially when you know that somebody is probably going to have an emotional reaction.
One of the things that I teach is we shift people's behaviors. So we all have behaviors that we're not proud of. So one of the behaviors I'm not proud of is if my sister is my chairman, finds something that I have not been accountable for. I failed at it and haven't been accountable for, and I didn't tell her. She will point it out. She's not even mad at me. All she's doing is pointing out. But one of my bad traits is if you find my out integrity before I do, I don't like you. I take you down, right? I go mean on you, right? And she'll walk out of a restaurant. Like, she won't tolerate that from me at all, right? So that's one of my bad traits. We all have things that suck about us that we're not proud of. One of the things we have that a lot of human beings have with boundaries is we say yes when we mean no. And those are all the nice people. I'm not nice, so I'll never say yes if I don't. Well, no, when I want, if I'm desperate with a man, I will, but that's a whole other story for another time. So for the most part, you know, since I'm not nice, I'm not going to say yes. If I say no to things, right? Like, yeah, no. But really nice people like Gia, like many of us, and human beings, right, who don't want to, you know, want to please people, will say yes when they mean no. For sure, you should say yes to your boss. You say no enough times to your boss, you're going to get fired. I understand. But boundaries, so how do you keep a promise when you suck at it? There really is a very simple method to keeping a promise to yourself. And when you do, it builds your confidence. It builds yourself back up.
There's a difference between being nice and being kind. And this is something that I have been working on because it's more like a social emotional hostessing thing. It's Pleasantville vibes, right? And kind is really like, if you think about, I don't know, in a relationship, for example, you're in a relationship that you know you want to leave, but you're not leaving. If you're staying because you want to be nice and you want to not hurt that person, that's very different than being kind, because ultimately the kinder thing is to let that person live their life and find their ideal partner and be honest about who you are and the way that you're showing up. And this has been something like for me that's been very challenging to implement, because I don't even know if you know this, but I'm originally from New York, from Long Island specifically, and I was raised with, and I have this side that is very blunt and honest. And that's where I feel most comfortable with people, where you always know what time of day it is. But living on the West Coast, particularly going back and forth as a child, it was very much reinforced the idea of sophistry, the idea that I was too much, that I was a bulldozer, that people didn't like it, even from like my tone of voice and my volume and all of that stuff. And it becomes embedded in this way that I think, you know, regardless of how you get to it, where you're just trying to like sink in to a sense of belonging. But then like Brené Brown talks about this, that if you're doing that in a way that's not aligned with your integrity, you won't belong.
No, and it's fake, right? And you won't like yourself when you get into bed at night. And one of the areas we impact is your relationship to yourself, self-love, self-caring, right? Being kind to yourself. It's really important. And we don't dream for ourselves, right? Like, you're like, wow, one of the areas of life is you. There's your relationship to yourself. Actually, it's the most important one. And that's the one where we mess with the most, right? By not keeping promises, you get up, you say you're going to go for a jog, you don't. Now you're mad at yourself and you don't like yourself. Then you have a 2 o'clock meditation and then you're like, oh, I can't do it today. So then you skip that. So by the time you get to 5 o'clock and you're drinking a lot, because a lot of times it's because you're just not even happy with yourself, right? Because you didn't do what you said you were going to do today. This is all about, like, Gary Vee took it when I taught him about all of this into kind candor is his new words. Like, how do you deliver straight talk with kindness? So he calls it kind candor. But yes, that was coaching that we had been working on.
So let's talk about some of these epiphanies that you've helped people have, because like that's a great example with Gary Vee, where it's like, oh, this is the way that I want to frame the type of communication I want to have. I want the company to have. And I imagine there, I mean, I had an epiphany with you. So I imagine you have a lot of these stacked up. So what are some of them that stick out to you in terms of people that you've worked with?
I had a great coaching call, and he's public, and I'm allowed to say. So anyone I say their name know that it's because I have permission. So Dr. Ish Major, who is a host on The Doctors, he's on the Nick Cannon Show. You've seen him around. He's a doctor for sure as well. One of the greatest insights is when you learn, this is module 5 in Inner You. So this is where you learn you're your parents.
Fun.
Not fun. This is where you learn about epigenetics and lineage. In Inner You Life, there's 12 modules. And we take you there at module 5. And so the traits, you do an exercise of your parents' great traits, both your parents, and their traits that are negative. And what you discover is you have every single one of them in the 21st, in your version of the 21st century, your version, right? So my version of my mother's mean is either the same or different than hers. But we take, what you discover is that the lineages repeat. And in this module, it's in honor of the lineage, evolve it. Well, Dr. Ish had the biggest epiphany of actually getting he really is his parents, which doesn't mean you're stuck with it. There's a way to evolve it. So when you learn that they're great and they're bad, there really is a way to evolve it. And it's amazing epiphany to actually own all that. So that's one. Mm-hmm. What other ones have I done? There's so many. I'll give you one of mine. I'll just do one of mine. So I really discovered, I'm 62, about to be 63 at the end of this month, and I'm single. I'm divorced twice. I've had relationships with people longer, you know, 2.5 years, 1.5 years, like that. I suck at relationships. What I discovered, the biggest epiphany for me around at the end of the year was I'm desperate versus deserved.
Mm.
And in my epiphany, which I cried about, this was a shocking epiphany to me that I, my entire life of my entire love world has been desperate. Every man I've ever picked or married or dated or lived with, desperate. I would never pick any of them, including the father of my daughter. And we both laugh. We love each other. We're friends, but I would never pick ever on our first date, on the first to third date. I already know what I would never pick. And since I'm so friggin' desperate, I pick them anyway. That was a huge epiphany.
See, and I, one of my aunts, for example, we just had a conversation about this where I grew up on my mom's side of the family. This is probably not a term you should be saying anymore, but I grew up calling them feminazis, where it was just like, my gram was married multiple times, a lot of abusive relationships. She said, fuck it, never going to be with anyone again. Then the four daughters pretty much tried. Then ultimately, 2 out of the 4 ended up saying, fuck it, I'm not ever going to try again. So I'm talking to one of my aunts who's just like, I love my life. I like, sure, would it be great to have a partner? Whatever. But my picker is broken. When we were talking about this, I had kind of just, which I do, you know, like, oh, I'm sure the people around me love it, is I just kind of like ask questions to feel out, like, what is the electric fence that's operating there? Like, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What's going on there? One of the things that she was saying is that because of her history, she doesn't trust herself.
Yes.
And what I hear in the framing of it is I have finally gotten to a place in my life where I like myself, I like my life. And because I cannot trust myself, because my picker is quote unquote broken, I don't even want to take the chance that I might disrupt everything I currently have.
I'm not giving up on love. I am very clear. He's finding me this year. There's not even a question about it, right? But yes, you gave us the perfect example of lineage repeating, epigenetics, right? Like, fuck it, I'm fine. And that repeats, and she doesn't have to have it repeat. She can learn how to do a picker way easier. That's not a hard one, right? But she can't give up. She'd need a dream, and then she'd have to fix her picker. It's very true.
It sounds like in your process that in order to bridge that gap between your dream and reality, you really have to get real about the areas in which you suck right now and do so in a way that's really honest and really taking a hard look So then you can take responsibility and shift things. Why do we not want to do that? Like, why is that so hard?
It does take courage to go to your dark side. And sometimes we don't go there until something bad happens to us. And then we'll take a look. But I would like people to go there before. Like, the only reason I'm desperate versus deserved and has totally shifted my entire life and now know that I will meet my soulmate and I'm done is because of a bad thing that happened. I got conned by someone who pretended to be a Rockefeller on the dating sites. And before our first date, he broke our first date. And then my two sisters, brother-in-law, and nephew figured out he was a con man. In that of me, greatest coach on the planet, me getting conned, me who can smell a lie a mile away. I got conned. That woke me the frig up immediately. So I had a disaster happen. And then I got to the coaches and said, okay, surrender, do it. Tell me, let's go. Right. And had all the magic happen from there. So a lot of times it waits till a disaster, right? And I would not recommend that since I did that. It's hard to admit shit about you. Like, it's hard to admit that we suck at certain things. It's just the design of human being. Like, if every human would be willing to take a look at their dark side, we'd have a different planet.
If I were to guess, which of course I don't know for sure, but I would guess that because we tend to think, at least in our fear brain, in a binary way, and as kids, like, you know, you learn in childhood development that you, when your parent says like, that's bad or whatever, you take it to mean that you are bad. And that there's this point that we don't necessarily grow out of without really conscious effort to say like, I can separate, I can see myself as like this 360 sphere of a human and understand that there's darkness in here, understand that there's lightness in here, and I can really look at it. I know people like this where it's even like, that they're wrong, like cannot admit that they've been wrong in something.
No, my ex-boyfriend, I could not point out like, honey, you know, you were just lame there. I would get viciously bit. So if you take a look back at our parents, right? The difference between how I raised my daughter and then my gang of people who raised our children and others is that as a parent, I was willing to get off the pedestal. It never was, I'm the mother, shut up, do this, da, da, da. It really was that Max, in her growing up, and Max is 20 now, has always had the right to be able to let me know, mommy, that didn't work for me. Mommy, that hurt my feelings. Mommy, please don't say it that way because I won't listen to you and I'll roll my eyes. I was willing to have what I'll teach later, like any one of my bad behaviors. I was inside of promises with my daughter at 8 years old, 6 years old, 3 years old, like, I got off the pedestal. Yes, I'm the mother. Yes, I'm going to discipline. Yes, there are rules. But also as a human being, I'm not going to use what my mother used on me because I'm the mother, right? It never worked, right? And so Max always had that right. Like recently, we went out to dinner because she was so upset with me. We went out to dinner, but and at that discussion, it was that I really did something that didn't work for me. And she wanted to have the whole conversation and come up with a new structure of how we interacted about that. I didn't resist that. But most people, when I tell them as parents, you know what? You don't get to be a bitch to your daughter. And if you do, you get to pay her $20. They're like, what? Right? And so get off the pedestal, people. That's also bosses. I understand you're the boss. And yes, you can fire them. God bless. But you want to get the best out of your people? Get off the pedestal from time to time and find out what sucks about you and how to be a better boss for your people.
First of all, I grew up in a very similar way with my mother and then had a very stark contrast because my dad and my bonus mom were a unified front. And so it was just like there was a brick wall, decisions were made. And then my mom really always let me know that people are people, no matter how old they look or how much they seem, they have it together. There's always a five-year-old inside of them that's having these emotions and things like that. My dad and my bonus mom are amazing, you know, and they were working with what they thought was the best. But I think that that is such a gift to give your kids to start seeing people as full humans from the get-go, instead of seeing this huge division between how they're feeling and how their peers are feeling, and then how grown-ups are and operate as like having all the answers.
Right. Could you imagine, everyone who's listening, could you imagine, and I'm going to do it with both business and personal, if your mother or father came to you and said, listen, I want to be a great mom. I know I suck at certain things. Let me know what you want me to take on in 2022, 2 to 3 things that don't work for you as my child that you'd like me to tweak. Could you imagine having that your parent come to you? Most of you would be like, they would never. Okay, I understand. Imagine if you went to your kid and did that. Same as a boss. Imagine being a boss. And by the end of this month, you go, all right, listen, everybody, I want to be an extraordinary boss in 2022. I want to know 3 things that suck about me you want me to take on and fix. I will get all of yours. I will pick the top 3 to start with. I will put them inside of a structure. I'll get back to you with my promise. Could you imagine working for a boss like that?
We've been working on things together, and not only do I want to do that with my team, but also one of the things that I know they would say is, Gia, you are constantly making promises and constantly under-delivering. When you say something is going to be done on Monday, whatever, you'll shuffle the schedule around, you'll do whatever, which means that I'm thrown off in terms of the order I can do things and, you know, and all of this, which probably for most people, like where it's leaking out in the world is also reflecting your relationship to yourself. Because as you know, like I have the self-integrity piece is probably the hardest part with me, keeping the promises to myself and then the self-worth that comes with that.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it really, for those of you that are listening, it's one of the greatest exercises to go do, including your partner, as in your intimate, your husband, your wife, your partner. In my last 2.5 year relationship, I really took on being like the greatest girlfriend and really getting that love is a verb. And I rocked it out, right? And I had so much friggin' fun. That's not why we're not together. I deeply cared that he felt in love by me all the time. So I was like, honey, is there something I'm doing that sucks? Is there anything I'm doing? You can always tell me. I'll always apologize. I'll always tweak, or I'll let you know I'm not changing that one. Like there's certain things I'm not going to change. I eat like a pig. I do. I'm not changing that. Get over it or don't date me. It's just there's certain freak flags of mine that are not changing. But there are many that if they don't work for you, given I want you to be loved by me, yeah, tell me that doesn't work that I do that and that I interrupt you when you're on the phone and want to know these 3 things even though you're on the phone. No, that sucks. I should not do that. Tell me that. Do not suffer with that.
Looking back at this revelation you've had, what was the source of the desperation that you were feeling?
It's just started long, long, long ago from my parents, and not to throw anyone under the bus, as the oldest, as not feeling loved, all forgiven and like that, I was always desperate for love. So it then translated into desperate for love, not so much from my girlfriends, but from, you know, the men I wanted to be with in my love life. And it's been there the entire time. I can go back. The other day, I went back to like my boyfriends in high school. I was so desperate. I could tell stories. Like I'll give you one. On my 3rd date, took me to Europe. Beautiful, fabulous. This is like that. And so I don't really know him. 3rd date. And he is the biggest dick to service people. Never, ever will I date someone who, but I moved in with him because I was desperate. So I have examples of that would make you laugh, every single one of them, of every man I've ever been with. Unbelievable. And that I'm laughing about it now makes me so happy that I discovered this about myself, because I will never do it again.
Yes.
They give you the message right in the first 3 dates. Right, right. It's right there. I'm that lucky because I have the truth told always. And I'll, yeah, no more desperation.
Well, A, I'm excited for you. But also what I love is thinking about a lot of these like blocking elements as like a filter that blocks these flags and these signals. Because like you said, they've all always been there. And like in my life, I've had quite a few former partners that have always defined their exes, or often defined their exes, as crazy. Which to me, I'm like, that is a red flag, because the odds of your former partner having been crazy in an isolated way are low. But then also thinking about like the way that I like to speak about the people that I've been with, I'm very intentional about that. And I might fuck up sometimes, but like, I'm very grateful for those humans. There's so much upside, even if the relationships might have had some suboptimal components to them, right? But like, the type of person I want to be is somebody who is honest, but also is intentionally wanting to speak well of people. And in hindsight, you're like, oh my gosh, now I'm literally one of your crazy exes in the stories that you tell. Like, probably could have seen that one coming.
I am sure I am. God bless. Rock it out, baby. That's right. I know who I am.
Okay, so we are not doing resolutions. We're past those.
Yes.
We're focusing on dreams, getting real about what is blocking us from doing those dreams, and then taking the actions that will help us live into that through this idea of keeping promises to ourselves.
Right. And then I'll teach you in the workshop that you and I are doing is how do you keep a promise to yourself? Because it's not just making one. There's three things you need when you make a promise. I'm not going to get into them now, but I definitely will teach you that. I'm going to teach you the language of dreaming for sure, because there is a language to it that you got to learn. Right. So we'll have the dreaming, and then we'll have the second thing. How do you then take an action to move it forward? And how do you keep that?
The epiphany that I had with you in our second coaching call is that the three-part mechanism that's a part of your method is creating a promise.
Specific and measurable.
That's specific and measurable. And then having a consequence, and then having somebody to hold you accountable. It sounds very simple, but trust me, when you get into the meat of it, the way everything is explained, it resonates in a much deeper way, because it sounds like when I first heard it, I was kind of like, whatever. And then you're like, whoa. When you drop into it, you're like, whoa, this is really powerful. And also, one of the things that we uncovered is that one of my self-sabotaging mechanisms is not what I would have thought it was. So the exact process that I went through is like, we had our coaching call. I was like, great. I have six promises that I'm going to get on, and I'm going to do this, 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 and this. I downloaded four different apps to track daily progress. So I just went from like zero to 8,992, like just snap. And I think this is very typical for a lot of people who are rocking with neurodivergence, is this kind of all or nothing thinking. So then what happened is that I did it one day, I felt great. But then the next day, there were all these other factors in life. And so I would slip up, and then I would try to come back to things. And it just became, it slipped into overwhelm. And then I just said, fuck it, I'm failing already, I'm done. What we realized is that one of my, and there are lots of nuance in these types of voices that show up that Beth can go into at a different time. But really realizing that one of my inner sabotaging voices was trying to always have me take things to 1,000. So then I would crash and burn and end up not doing the thing. Whereas other people, it might be that their voice is like, stay away from it. Don't even get started, because they don't believe in themselves. The outcome is the same. You end up not doing anything sustainably. But mine, and I didn't expect this, and I wasn't aware of it until we uncovered it together, that it's the same mechanism, but almost the opposite thing, where it's like, I can fake my way into thinking I'm a superhuman, which we know the evidence doesn't quite bear that out. And then when I flop and fail, it reaffirms my story of like, you're never good enough, your brain doesn't work, you're a failure, and all of this.
Each session, you're going to uncover your own humanity that gets in the way of whatever it is that you truly deeply want in your own life, right? And so to be able to see Gia do all of that and then get, okay, wait, let me understand your wiring. Okay, I'm ADD too, but it's not predominant like Gia's, right? Okay, so then let's now, okay, you can have six. You're not allowed to complicate this. Let's drive it down to just this, blah, 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 right? And each thing, we're finding the way, because if you find, here's the sentence, everyone. If you find the right two to three promises to start off your life with inside of the new year and your dream, everything starts to move. And it's only two promises. We're not like, oh, we're taking on your whole life. We're going to come up with 2 to 3 that will impact your life right away, that you will honor and keep, which will then make you feel better about yourself, which then has you then take on even more. But it is a process and everyone is different. But yeah, we did great with you. That was an incredible insight for you to see. We had to see that, right? And as Gia said in the beginning, you have to have courage to be able to see what gets in our own way. What do we do that gets in our way? You want to be like excited about, like, tell me how come I don't have my love life. Like, I want to know how come at 62, I still don't have my soulmate, right? Like, I don't want to like sit around and keep not having the result. So any area of your life that you want a result in, it's worth having the courage to look to see what's in the way, which is you. And then let's see what it is, tweak it, and get you what you want. Yeah. And this really is the year. On Good Morning America, they announced it, the year of you, right? It really should be the year of all of us, right? And upgrading all of us. If we upgraded every single person on this planet, we'd have a different planet.
Mm-hmm. I think what's interesting, which honestly, this has been challenging for me, is becoming aware of what those internal voices are saying. Because to me, I have kind of so much background chatter stuff that's happening in my brain that it's not like any one thing is particularly clear until I'm like having a conversation or there's something very strongly that comes through. For example, when I was like, oh my gosh, this is the way that I self-sabotage. When you were saying, okay, let's just pare this down to like the most simple one promise. We're not even going to put a consequence because like you're not ready for that. Let's like really pare it down. My inner voice was like, bullshit, that's stupid. I don't want to be infantilized. I can do way more than this. And then that was like the, there it is. It's that.
And you get into trouble every single time. You think it has to do with superpowers. You already have superpowers. Your superpower is be smart enough to know what your system can handle and what it can't, which doesn't mean you don't have superpowers or you're less than anyone else. What I say to all CEOs, because I coach many C-suite executives, is please learn your person, the people that work for you, know their wiring, know how they work. Not everyone is the same. And if you want your best out of Gia, you got to go this way with Gia. You want your best out of Rosa, you got to do this. So you have to deeply care about your people to know their wiring so you know how to get the best out of people and their productivity. Not like trying like, well, too bad, we need them to do 7 things more. They're not going to. There is nothing. You're still superpower. You're still fabulous. You just work a particular way.
This goes back to that idea of comparison, which I think is such a thwarting force when it comes to anything. Because like for me, for example, I have a brain that runs 1,000 miles a minute, but I have a body right now that needs to go like 15 or that needs to go like 5 miles an hour. So the disparity between those two is infuriating. And then, so what I want to do, and this was, you know, when it became clear, is what I want to do is go 1,000 miles a minute, damned whatever happens with my body, which is probably why my body is where it is. It's because I spent a lot of years burning it out. What I've been experiencing is really this sense of humility to say like, okay, like I'm going to honor the truth that is right now, which means that the people that I see rocking it on Instagram, on TikTok, they're content creator machines. They might have a certain pace and clip that works for them. And that is not what is going to work for me right now. And I have to really honor that, which is very tough. And honestly, I don't know that I could have done without your help, without that sort of external validation to say like, this is really okay. And this is like kind of everybody's journey, right? Of like self-acceptance and really honoring who you are. And like you said, building that self-integrity is that it can be very difficult when you're constantly looking outward and seeing how everybody is successful and beautiful and all these things that you want to be. And of course, we don't know what's going on behind the curtain with any of them, obviously, but also it's zapping your energy and resources, which we know, but
that's one of the, in module 4, we talk about mind management, because our thoughts can literally have us, before we get to work, we can be fired. Before we show up to an Instagram live, we already suck, because our mind takes us there. And so we teach you, as you take a dive into your dark side, the dialogue that you engage in that you should not. So we'll play with all of this when Gia and I do the workshop.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about the workshop. This was such a cool thing when we were in pre-production, like having a conversation that you had offered. It just seems so cool to be able to, because you're somebody who's very much in demand. You're somebody who has all of this wealth of knowledge and has a platform that people can join, that you would take the time to, you know, like walk us through something. I'm super grateful.
We're doing an hour pre-workshop where if you join us, what I'll do is I will teach you the way to dream, the language of dreaming, and it'll be very quick. It's going to be boom, boom, boom. So be really ready. Dreaming, your chicken, Brad, and weather reporter that gets in your way. I'm going to teach you that. And then I'm going to teach you what Gia spoke about, the specific measurable promise, consequence, and someone to hold you to account. So I'm going to get you set up with one area of your life for 2022 so that you get that area and you get that goal. And then whatever I teach you for that one goal, you can do with all of them. So for sure, free workshop. I don't do this. I'm expensive. Love Gia. Come and be part of this and up level. No New Year's resolutions, but your dreams.
Yes. I'm very grateful for you and also really excited about this because, you know, I'm sure a lot of people like myself, like we're trying to find the shoe that fits in a department store where it's like you're just filled with options. And maybe you've tried on a few shoes that don't fit and you're feeling discouraged, as was my case. And so I think that having this workshop will be really great for a lot of people. And of course, at the end, you'll show them how they can work with you if that seems like a fit, which I certainly am and excited about. But also, they'll have the framework, which is the framework I'm using. So so I'm really excited about that.
Yes, we'll tell them about Inner You Life. And then they have a free gift from you today, from us, which is you. There's a resolution download. So there's a PDF that you can get from listening to this, which is how do you learn to make your resolution stick, right? Like how do you have your resolution stick? So take this download for sure, and then come join us at the workshop.
Yay, yeah, and that will be linked in the show notes. Okay, are you ready for the G-Speed round?
Yes.
Only rule is you can't overthink it. Who's a celebrity that you would love to get your hands on?
Oh, you know, I just told Ish, I want Nick Cannon.
Okay, I love it. Okay, when we see you doing the most dorktacular, silly thing that you do for self-care or just enjoying your life, what will we find you doing?
I'm in Costa Rica for 3 months. Every morning at 5:30, I have two sisters. The two sisters, one of them, my brother-in-law and one of the kids, we all go on an hour and a half killer walk amongst the monkeys, the howlers, the birds. Every morning, 6 days a week. We just started because we just got here. It's gorgeous here. So that's my winter adventure.
I love that. Okay. What is something about you that would surprise people?
That I'm 62.
Yeah, definitely. I know when you told me that, I was like, what? Hashtag goals. What is a failure that turned out to be a gift?
62, single, not married. Greatest gift, because I'm going to now meet my soulmate.
Yes, instead of somebody else who's going to
Instead of all the ones I picked that were desperate.
Right. Okay, what are you working on right now that you're particularly excited about?
So I was on Good Morning America. We're working on getting me to be a resident expert on one of the daytime TV shows. So
yes, that'll be exciting. Okay, what is a mantra or phrase that is one that we should all embed?
Okay, here it is. Whatever you believe, you prove.
Yeah, I felt that in my solar plexus, for better or for worse. Okay, lastly, what does it mean to be living your boldest, truest life?
Doing exactly what I'm doing here in Costa Rica, working for 3 months, rainmaking for everything I want for Handel Group. So I am living the greatest life.
Yes. Well, the proof is in the pudding. And looking at your life, it's fucking delicious. So thank you so much for spending time with us. And I'm really excited for our workshop.
Yes, me too. Thank you, Gia. You bold woman, you.
Beth is the best. That was such a fun conversation. I'm so glad you got to listen to it because it was just so enlivening and filled. Like, to me, I'm just so curious about how people have created what they've created, especially when they're like systems and structures and doing things on a really big level. Like, she's working with the top people in the world. And that's just so fascinating to be able to hear behind the scenes. If you haven't already, check the link for the show notes, because we are going to be doing that workshop. So I am just really excited to go deep into the methodology with her on this workshop and have a great time, and hopefully get to hang out with you all who are there. So that'll be very, very fun. Link in the show notes. You are the best. I fucking love you. This week, I hope you go out there and just simmer in your amazingness. Just like own it, revel in it, bathe in your fabulosity, and maybe try, I don't know, like a fear bash. Let me know how it goes. Tag me on Instagram, you know, like send me a DM. And as always, I just want to say you are amazing. Thank you for spending this time, and I will see you next week. Bye.